Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and today is September 3rd, 2015, and in this year of his 90th birthday, every day there is a festival in Prashantinilam. Every crew from every district, every state of India, so eager to make their offering of love and gratitude to Bhagwan.
Prema Swarup Lara.
Happy, happy, happy. Be happy. Happy, happy. Make others happy. All will be happy. God will be happy.
Love is his message. Love is his form. And love is timeless. Celebrating an epochal moment in an endless epic. 90 years of Satya Sai.
So this festival continues, and now you have devotees from Andhra Pradesh on a 6-day Parthiyatra after devotees of Kerala were here for a similar 6-day Prashanti festival. And even as we rejoice in these beautiful celebrations, in just a couple of days is approaching one of the big and beautiful celebrations, the festival when we celebrate the advent of one of the most charming, most beatific, mesmerizing forms of the Lord. The birthday of Lord Krishna, Krishna Janmashtami. And celebrating this occasion, Radio Sai team has come up with a special audio offering, an instrumental rendering of one of the beautiful bhajans that is sung in Prashantinilam Mandir. Let me leave it to you to guess the bhajan.
Thank you.
Yes, that is Giridhar Govind Gopala. So it is done by an international choir. It is the Sarva Dharma Choir from Zone 7, Region 73 of the Sri Sathya Sai International Sai Organizations. It was led by Miss Maria Kuz. They were here in Prashanthi Nilayam during Guru Purnima, and that is when we had this opportunity to record with them. It almost sounded like a Christmas carol, isn't it? Like the ones we sing before Christmas, before the birth of Lord Jesus Christ on Christmas Eve. And now we are celebrating the birth of Lord Krishna. So this is how the Westerners express their love and joy at the birth of Sai Krishna. In one discourse, Bhagavan very beautifully says that among all the avatars, Krishna is the most attractive incarnation. And Bhagavan goes on to explain how the word Krishna has three meanings. First is, Krishyati iti Krishnaha. The one who cultivates is Krishna. And what is it that Krishna cultivates? Swami says Krishna cultivates the field of our heart by removing the weeds of all that is unpleasant and then watering our hearts with love, plowing it with sadhana and sowing the seeds of devotion. So that is one definition of Krishna. Another definition of Krishna is Karshate iti Krishnaha, which means Krishna is the one who attracts, and that needs no explanation, isn't it? So beautifully, the saint Madhavacharya has composed the shlokam, Madhurashtakam, where we sing and describe this beauty of Krishna. Adharam madhuram, vadanam madhuram, nayana madhuram, hasitam madhuram. Everything about him is so beautiful. His eyes, his speech, his sport, his words, his music. Hridayam madhuram, gamanam madhuram, his gait, his grace, his walk. Vachanam madhuram, charitam madhuram, his life. Vasanam madhuram, valitam madhuram, chalitam madhuram, bramitam madhuram. That is how Krishna is. Karshate iti Krishna. And the third beautiful definition is Kurshate iti Krishna, which means Krishna is one who is always blissful. Swami says it is because of this characteristic that sage Garga named him as Krishna. Because there is no heart that is not delighted when in the presence of Krishna. By his mere presence, Krishna spreads joy. And that is the reason why he is Krishna. And Swami says all these three different aspects of Krishna is what is Sat, Chit and Ananda. In fact, in this manner, there are very beautiful incidents from Krishna's life that Bhagavan narrates, which one would not find in other traditional texts. Once, Bhagavan says, when Krishna was just 3 years old, Krishna saw an old lady carrying a basket of fruits from the jungle, and Krishna sweetly told her that she too would like to have some fruits. And the old woman said that he can get them only if he paid a price. And the little Krishna innocently asked, okay, so what is the price? And the woman said, something should be given in return for the fruit. So Krishna went in and brought a plate full of rice. The woman placed the rice in her basket and then gave Krishna some fruits. And the woman was so charmed by the beauty of this kid that even as she was returning to her cottage, just that beautiful, charming persona of Krishna never left her mind. And as she was lost in these thoughts and walking to her cottage, she felt that the basket was getting heavier and heavier. And finally, when she reached her home and she placed the basket down in her hut, she was amazed to find that all the rice grains had turned into precious gems. So that is how Krishna was slowly revealing to the people in Gokul Vrindavan who he really is. And look at the way the Lord blesses. Look at the way the Lord rewards us. Even though the lady asked God himself something in return for the fruits that the Lord asked, the Lord did not say, hello lady, do you know whom you are dealing with? How dare you ask me a price? The Lord had no such qualms. The Lord just went inside Bhagwan and he had no problem in giving something. And not only did the Lord give, whatever the Lord received, he not only gave the lady what is due, but also gave million times more. And that is how the Lord is. That is how vast his Lord is. Bhagwan says, when the whole universe is with me, is it possible for you to feed me with dainty dishes? When I am present in every jiva, in every soul, is it possible for you to give me an appropriate name? When I am present in all the oceans of the world, is it possible for you to give me a bath? It is this Lord. It is such an infinite Lord. When he comes down in human form, he accepts these little offerings from us. He asks for it, just so that we have an opportunity to give him something, so that he can give us back a million times. We might have done something for him, and mentally we would have thought, Swami, I have done this for you, now you owe me, Swami. And the Lord not only will give us what we think we should receive, but he will give us 1,000 times more. Again, in Krishna's life, from Krishna's childhood, when the brothers Krishna and Balarama were brought by Akrura to Mathura on the orders of King Kamsa. Before meeting Kamsa, the brothers were going through the streets of Mathura, and during this walk they meet an old hunchback lady, Kubja, who was the provider of scents and perfumes for Kamsa. And Kubja, as the name suggests, unfortunately had a bent body. Her body had become crooked at 3 places. And when the brothers asked her for the perfumes, she gladly gave them. Even though they were strangers, she had no reservations in giving whatever Krishna and Balarama asked. And she did it happily. She did it with love. And see what the Lord did in return. Krishna just planted his foot on her feet, caught hold of her chin and lifted it up. And the next instant, she became the beautiful self that she was. She became straight and she became so alright and so jubilant that she started dancing in joy. She had never ever dreamt that she would be a normal woman again. A little perfume she offered, and God removed all that is unpleasant from her life, filling it with fragrance of his grace. She had received her beautiful shape, and Krishna ensured that her life from then was beautiful. When she asked if Krishna would visit her home, Krishna promised her, and he did keep that promise. After the fulfillment of his mission of eliminating Kamsa, Krishna went to her house too. Though God never asks anything from anyone, if someone offers something, he returns it hundredfold, he returns it manifold. And there are so many such beautiful lessons from Krishna's life narrated by Bhagwan. In fact, these narrations are manifold too, and they are really magnificent. Maybe I will narrate a couple of them before we move on to listening to more of them from someone who has had more than 40 years of association with Bhagwan. Swami says, when Krishna danced on the head of Kaliya or Kalinga, the deadly serpent, the poison was vomited and the lethal serpent was subdued. And Bhagwan gives the reason why Krishna was able to do this. Swami says he was able to do this because Krishna was able to remove the visha or the poison from Kaliya, because he himself was far from Vishaya and Vasana. Because Krishna was away from attachment to worldly things. Because Krishna was totally untouched by anything worldly. That is the reason why he could conquer the serpent demon. In fact, Bhagwan gives a very graphic description of that scene and says, in those days Krishna generally never parted from Balarama, but that day Krishna was alone and he was wearing a necklace of green beads, a nose ring of pearl in his right ear, and a ring of pearls, which was the necklace. And then Swami said, Krishna wore no shirt or coat, he was just wearing yellow silk around his waist, and there was a kerchief that he wound around the head. Or rather, he had simply tied it around the head. And Bhagwan said that Krishna did not wear those elaborate turbans and elaborate crowns that you see in pictures. Swami said he actually just took a towel, and Bhagwan at this point while speaking to the students took his own kerchief and demonstrated how Krishna used to tie the turban on his head. In fact, we have pictures of this event that happened in Vrindavan. And Bhagwan went on to say that the peacock feather that is described by poets and sages was not always worn by Krishna. It was stuck into the turban occasionally. Swami said peacock abounded in Vrindavan. There were plenty there. And whenever Krishna felt like he would pick a peacock feather and just tuck it into the turban. Bhagwan went on to give more description of Krishna and said on his bare chest there was a mole that could be clearly seen, and that is the inevitable mark of all avatars. And Bhagwan said that is there in the Sai form too, that is there in my body too. He went on to explain that day's event of Krishna demolishing the serpent Kalia, and Bhagwan said when Krishna went there he saw the carcass of animals who had died inhaling the poisonous air around the pool. Birds had fallen dead on the ground and nothing green could survive in that neighborhood. And as soon as Krishna jumped into the pool to save the region from the serpent's havoc, his companions ran home because they wanted to alert Krishna's parents so that they could intercede and stop this, what they thought are the foolish pranks of the mischievous Krishna. Everyone was in panic, but there was one person, Bhagwan says, who was calm and collected. Nothing affected her because she knew who is Krishna, and that is Radha. Swami said Radha knew that it is just a minute's fun for Krishna. It is just a moment's sankalpa for Krishna. She knew that no visha, no poison can ever touch Krishna, because as Swami says, Krishna is beyond any vishaya and vasana. No attachment. Nothing worldly. On another occasion, Bhagwan said, the cow transforms grass and gruel into sweet strengthening milk and he gives it away in plenty to its master. And Swami said, that is the quality that we should develop. We should transform the food that we eat into sweet words, thoughts and deeds. Deeds of sympathy, deeds of empathy. Just like the cow takes grass and converts it into sweet milk, we should take whatever food we intake and convert it into beautiful thoughts, words and deeds. And Swami says the child Krishna always wept for permission to go along with the cows to the fields of pasture. And once Yashoda said, dear one, your little tiny silken feet cannot walk along those pebble filled tracks. So we shall make a little sandal for you. We shall make these nice little sandals for you, and after that you can go to the pastures with the cows. But Krishna immediately said, but mother, the cows whom we serve, they are not any inferior beings. When the cows are walking on that earth, why should we avoid the thorns and the stones? Why should we, who are the servants of these cows, why should we avoid the thorns and stones when the cows cannot avoid? Bhagwan says, no wonder the cows and calves of Gokul Vrindavan, they were immobilized and they wept when Krishna left for Mathura. Little incidents. The little Krishna was giving such profound lessons. What is love? What is empathy? And we had the same Krishna when he came again, going back to those days and bringing alive these instances, letting us know that how we should lead a life so that it transforms into divine, transforms into something that the divine would approve of, that we would ultimately traverse that journey to become divine, to become that Krishna, to become that love. So thanks to Bhagwan, we have so many such beautiful insights that Bhagwan has shared with us. In fact, this story, this glory is endless. So many beautiful insights Swami has so beautifully given us over so many discourses. There were summer showers dedicated on Krishna Bhagavatam. So we will dwell on this more, but now through a live conversation with Dr. B. Sai Giridhar, the Dean of the Department of Commerce and Management, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Dr. Sai Giridhar joined way back in 1982 for his bachelor's in commerce, and then he went on to do his master's in commerce. Later, Bhagwan gave him the opportunity to pursue his PhD, which he completed in 1992. And since then, Bhagwan gave him the chance to work as a faculty member in his university. He was in the Vrindavan campus in the Department of Commerce, and later moved to the Prashantinilam campus working in the Department of Management. And now he is the Dean of the Department of Commerce and Management in Prashantinilam. Really grateful to Bhagwan that we have him with us in the studios today. So that is what is in store in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And as I just mentioned, today we have Dr. B. Sai Giridhar, the head of the Department of Commerce and Management, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Welcome, sir, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, thank you.
So you are someone who has had more than 3 decades of association with Bhagwan, and I know that your name, Sai Giridhar, was given by Bhagwan himself. He did the Annaprasanna when you were a little one. So many beautiful memories, such a long association with Bhagwan. So tell us, take us back to your days with Bhagwan. Can you please, to start with, since we are discussing about Krishna, can you share some of those moments of the playful nature of Bhagwan?
We are all preparing for the 90th birthday now. Let's go back to the 60th birthday.
Okay.
That was the period, the summer vacations were coming close, and it was always a desire of the students that they would like to stay back.
Yes.
That is a time when they can have the whole day that they can spend with Bhagwan. And Bhagwan used to always insist, no, you have to go spend your summer vacation with your parents. The prayers being so strong, Bhagwan said, you all go back home and come back. I'll arrange for a social work wherein you all can go to the village and work there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the evening you can spend time with us. It happened that way, so we started with the social work. Suddenly...
This was in the month of...
May.
May.
And suddenly Bhagwan picked up a few boys and said, there's a request which has come saying that for the birthday celebration, they want boys to play the band, because that was the prayer which was put forward to Bhagwan. And Bhagwan said, okay, if it's going to make you all happy, please go ahead with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's a military instructor who's going to come from Bangalore. He will teach you all how to play the instruments. You'll learn a few songs, and then you all can play when the birthday procession...
60th birthday procession,
1985. So we were all very thrilled, very excited, looking forward for that, because everyone was excited about being a part of 60th birthday.
Yes.
And that was the first time we were going to have a gala function in the Hillview Stadium. As other boys were going for the Gram Seva, we were in the hostel practicing.
So a selection was done for the band?
By the divine.
Oh, by the divine.
By the
Swami
divine.
Selected.
Yes, Swami is selected. He said, okay, you all can be part of the band.
Oh, so how did the selection procedure happen? Like, did Swami hear anyone singing or playing an instrument, or he just picked?
To be very frank, I did not have any background in music. So there were so many of us who were in the same state. But that's what Bhagwan's love
so
and grace is.
He just picked.
He just picked. He said,
wow.
He came around and said, okay, these people will be a part of the band.
Fantastic.
So we were all working out through the day. We used to be in the hostel, practice. There was a tambourine tree in the quadrangle of the hostel. And we used to sit around that. And Mr. Peter was the person, instructor, who had come from Bangalore. always our ears where whether we'll be able to get some indication that, because normally after bhajans, Bhagwan used to come for a drive, so that devotees can have his darshan.
So after evening bhajans.
Morning bhajans. And we were also eager because we could not go to Mandir because Swami always mentioned duty first. So we went with that. We used to stay in the hostel, keep practicing.
So during the morning darshan time and morning bhajan time, you were practicing?
We were practicing.
Okay.
So we used to wait whether we'll hear the horn, because at that point of time, the best signal we used to get was from Sai Geeta. Sai Geeta was just opposite to the hostel. Yes. So wow. She will sense that Bhagwan is...
Correct.
Come out and she will blow her trumpet. Oh. That is where we get an indication.
Wow.
All of us used to rush out. So one such occasion, we all rushed out. We saw that Bhagwan's car was approaching towards the hostel. Suddenly we saw the indicator going on saying that it's going to take a right turn. Normally the practice is that we leave our instruments. There was a small place where flower pots could be kept. So we used to leave our instruments there and run to the road.
The gate to welcome Bhagwan.
Yes. Because just in case Bhagwan is going straight, then we will miss the opportunity. So that's why we used to run there. Because the more you look at the form is so enchanting.
Yes.
That you feel like looking more.
Yes.
So we, in this time also we ran and we found that the indicator was blinking, saying that Bhagwan may come into the hostel. So all of us rushed back. Now, Bhagwan,
so now you rush back to your places because,
Bhagwan is coming inside. So we rushed back and we picked up our instrument. In a hurry, everyone was trying, because it was all kept in one place. So there was a little bit of hustle bustle, and then we ran in and took our positions near the tree. Bhagwan came in and came straight into the hostel. We were all waiting there because we knew that Bhagwan will also ask us to play something. Then he said, okay, come on, play. We were wondering, what do we play? And suddenly I observed that I left my drumsticks back.
Oh my God.
near the place where the flower pots were supposed to be kept. Now, how do I go out? How do I pick it up?
So I'm standing there.
There's no other way. And Bhagwan says, has everyone got his instrument back? You can't tell, no, I have not got my, the sticks of the... I was playing kettle drum at that point of time. Suddenly, Bhagwan was holding one hand behind all this time. So suddenly, he takes it out and says, this is the playfulness of Bhagwan. So that's what we all cherish, enjoy.
Amazing. Then he reveals that he was the one hiding the drumsticks.
Wow. So the amount of tension maybe sometimes you build up because you would like to perform.
Yes.
And now how do you go about performing?
When this moment you just feel so one with Bhagwan, isn't
yes.
it? He just becomes one like you.
He ensures that we feel that he is one amongst us.
Yes.
Because that's where he wants us to learn lessons of life.
Fantastic.
He gets down to our level and says that this is the best part of your life. Come on, pick up what I am here to give you.
Exactly. I mean, just like Krishna was, you know, all the Gopalas, they would have felt just one with Krishna.
One with Krishna.
Same thing, I think, all the students also felt. And that's how they could open up their hearts to him.
That's why you never had any inhibition of talking, that if there was some problem, some issue, or something of joy which you would like to share, then you always went up to him. He was the first person you had in your mind, your heart, because that's where you can share everything.
Amazing.
In fact, maybe I can narrate one other instance.
Sure.
We were fortunate enough to make arrangements for Bhagwan's discourse and also take care of the audio systems in Vrindavan, Sai Ramesh Hall. And that was the audio room was just next to the stage.
Yes. And just behind the stage.
Behind the stage.
Yes.
So Bhagwan used to normally walk down because that was a driveway which was all vacant at that point of time. When Bhagwan comes, he used to glide down that driveway.
Yes.
And at times we could see the mischievous look which he gives. This goes out to say how much the Lord cares for his devotee.
Mm.
So suddenly he will say, okay, let me enter the audio room.
Mm.
So audio control room, he used to come in there. And this audio control room had two small grills or ventilators. In fact, people on the other side can look in. And at times when the music starts and if there is a slight delay, if Bhagwan doesn't come out, people will all be anticipating from which side, because there was always an option. Swami Bhagwan used to go from the main gate,
okay,
sometimes through the stage. So these were options which Bhagwan used to take. So everyone was trying to find out which is the route which Bhagwan used to take. And Swami Bhagwan used to come into this room and from that window look at devotees.
From that audio room.
Audio room window, Bhagwan is
so devotees cannot see him.
Devotees initially won't see him.
Mm.
But when they, one or two of them have a look at it, because it's a form which nobody can miss. So immediately you'll find that whole attention of the hall comes into that window.
Into that little window.
Little window. And Bhagwan will from there make signs, tell, okay, this is where I've seen you. All these were the fun-filled days which Bhagwan, that's how he ensures that even though he has come to teach us something which is very noble, very great in life, he makes us feel, yes, our ideals may be something which is very high, but we have to be human beings first if you want to connect.
To connect, yes.
To connect.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the whole purpose of him donning a human form was to connect with us. And connect. He did that amazingly.
Amazingly, amazingly. And nobody ever felt that he was out of sync.
Mm.
He used to always ensure that people become comfortable.
Amazing. In fact, I remember as you're narrating this, how these hide-and-seek moments with Bhagwan, students in the earlier Vrindavan days also had in the old bungalow days, and then Bhagwan used to come out, sometimes see through the window in the old bungalow. And in fact, people used to stand there all the day through, waiting when Bhagwan would, when they can get a glimpse of Bhagwan, because you don't know when the curtains will part and Bhagwan will give darshan. I think that was another way how Bhagwan always ensure that our mind is fixed on him.
In fact, that was a unique opportunity which the Vrindavan hostel has, because one wing of the Vrindavan hostel faces Bhagwan's room.
Correct.
Mm. In fact, the place where I stayed in the Vrindavan hostel, it was just opposite Bhagwan's bedroom.
Mm.
And at times, after the evening session, we used to stand near the window and Bhagwan used to come to his window there in the bedroom.
Oh, and he could see.
We could see. And oh, Bhagwan
wow.
also could see. So at times Bhagwan would take a walk generally. Then suddenly he'll stop. He will see us. The playfulness in him, at times he'll come close to the window, then switch off the light.
Oh.
So we used to wait again. When will the light come on? When can we see him? So that's the amount of love which Bhagwan had. So suddenly again the lights will come on, Bhagwan will see, at times blessed from there, and then...
When you think about it, to what extent the Lord goes, you know, just so that we feel comfortable.
We feel happy.
Happy.
We feel joyous. So
yes.
He knows that. So that is the reason why He goes all out and ensures that we experience that.
Amazing. And I think, but every time He came down to our level, to make us feel one with Him. But there were so many profound lessons also, isn't it? All the time. All the time He was teaching us. All the time He was refining us.
Bhagwan always had a message to give. At times, maybe we were not all that quick to catch the message in the first instance, but the message will sink in.
Amazing. And I think you must have also had such moments where, you know, Bhagwan playfully said something, but today when you reflect on, it is so profound.
Yeah, I'm reminded of one instance. Sports meet is another great learning for all of us. And it's also a great event wherein each student can contribute, feels that he has contributed something towards the glory of the institution and makes Bhagwan happy. It was one such instance. We had one item which was called as rock climbing. Bhagwan, whenever we talk of some adventurous item, he always sends messages hundreds of times saying that safety first, all other things next.
Mm.
This has been the standard instruction which we got every time. Every time, whenever there's an adventurous event which was planned, Bhagwan will say, have you taken care of that? This, there's a list of things which Bhagwan will always send. One such instance, we had this rock climbing which was going on. We had our practices in Bangalore and a couple of other places, and finally came to Prashanthi Nilayam. Bhagwan said, I will come down to the Hillview Stadium and see how we all are performing. So those days it was that we had one chance of exclusive show only to Bhagwan.
Hmm.
So that was a moment where the students could relate to Bhagwan and enjoy Bhagwan's comment on each program.
Mm.
That is before it happened on the final day.
And this is what matters.
This is what
actually more keeps, important than
keeps everyone going, because that's what drives everyone.
You can get a personal feedback from Bhagwan for everything you're doing.
Yes, and he will appreciate. Sometimes he'll say that this can be done better.
Mm.
This display, maybe it can be synchronized a little better.
Mm.
At times, very appreciative of the amount of effort which the students have put in. So that was what kept that link going. So we went in, we performed lots of events on the Hillview, that rock which is there. And then...
It is that same rock on which all the statues are there, isn't it?
Right, where Shiva,
yes.
Just behind that,
yes.
We were performing. And as soon as we finished our event, the general tendency of all students and teachers is to rush to get Bhagwan's view on it. And since ours was the last event, by the time we reached there, Bhagwan got up from his chair and he was coming down the stage, Shanti Vedika. So when he came down, we were standing right in front. Then Bhagwan came up to me and said, you use the rope to climb up? We all knew that it was just going by the holds, toe hold and hold with the palm or with the fingertips.
And we had to. That's what rock climbing is all about. Yeah.
So we explained it, no Bhagwan, we did not use the ropes. Ropes were used only for safety, so that if anything happens, because you always insisted on safety, we had the ropes only for safety. We did not climb using the ropes. So Bhagwan smiled, and that smile was a little different from the normal smile.
Mm-hmm.
So we were wondering why did Bhagwan say that? So we were all happy that we could perform, and Bhagwan was happy about it. And then the day went by, next day was the performance. We all got ready for that. Our event came, the boys started climbing. And in those days, we also used to be a part of the performance team. So
the faculty also.
So I went up. I was maybe half the way up, or a little more than half. Suddenly I found that that finger grip which was supposed to be there was no longer there.
Grip
for holding so that I can climb.
No, you did not find a gap in the stone?
No, it was, and there was a gap. We had used that earlier.
Oh,
and
okay.
Suddenly that grip was not there.
Well, it had chipped off or something?
It had chipped off or it had fallen off.
Oh.
So that is when I didn't know what to do. There's no way that I can... You're stuck. Almost for 5-10 minutes I was stuck in that same way.
Oh my God.
And the next event...
Other rock climbers...
The other paths were all clear. They went up.
Oh, okay.
That is when...
So the students are cleared, but you are stuck.
So this is when I immediately recalled what Bhagwan said. Because after that what happened was there was a rappling rope which was dropped.
Mm-hmm. What is a rappling
rope? A rappling rope is that you use this rope to come down at a great pace.
Okay.
Using the... you throw yourself backwards and drop down. As soon as the rope came down, my first reaction was to grab that and take one step. Otherwise, I can't move. So I did that. Then I remembered what Bhagwan said. Very playfully, the previous day, he said, "You use the rope to climb." So that is what he was giving a hint, that tomorrow you will have to use a rope to climb. So that is the love of Bhagwan. That's a way.
We will never understand his words. We can never understand his words. And I think one thing about his words that I have seen is, when you reflect on those words as years go by, they always give you new meanings.
Yes.
They give you new meaning. They give you new insights.
Yes.
Every
yes.
word that, you know, whatever, I think every devotee who has had physical interaction with Bhagwan, he will have in his life those few priceless moments with Bhagwan when Bhagwan said a few words. And I think those words, they remain in our life and they keep continue to give us new meanings.
That's where Bhagwan also mentions that he says, don't analyze what I have said, just experience. That's where you can feel his love. Maybe then when we get into the analysis mode, sometimes what happens, maybe if I had done this, maybe Bhagwan would have been more pleased. So we may get into a situation of that nature. Just enjoy the moment, experience. That is what really matters.
Relive and relish.
Relish.
Those moments.
Yes.
And also ponder on the message that came with the moment.
Definitely. Definitely. Because every word of Bhagwan will have a message. Bhagwan says, I give you what you want so that one day you will want what I want to give you.
Yes. And I think he's constantly waiting to give us that.
Right. And he prepares us so that we can take that.
We can take that.
We can take that.
Amazing. So, when you look back, are there any interactions with Bhagwan like that? Can you think of, you know, which whenever you reflect on, always fills you with inspiration, always, you know, gives you a direction in life?
I am reminded of one such instance. In my first year when I joined here, we got that opportunity of getting some food for Bhagwan. It's a great opportunity. So I felt
from the hostel.
From the hostel.
Cook food
in the hostel and get it and offer it to Bhagwan. And it used to go back as prasadam and it used to get mixed up with the food which boys or the students used to have. It was one such instance when we were coming back from the hostel with the food to Mandir. I had my two senior brothers who were there with me. It so happened on that day, there was one cycle which was standing in front of the hostel. So at times it is used by the hostel students or teachers when they go to Mandir or go for some work. So I picked up that cycle.
So this is in the early 80s.
Early 80s. So I picked up the cycle. The other elder brothers were walking down and I was coming on the cycle. Suddenly we saw one not so familiar car, but it was coming at a pace which we are used to when Bhagwan's car comes.
Oh, okay.
So that drew a little bit of our attention. But suddenly when it came close, we saw Bhagwan looking out.
Oh my God.
So then we realized, okay, because generally Bhagwan expects that he doesn't like students to be found on the road.
Yes. When if it's a Mandir time, if it's a Mandir time, you should be in the Mandir. If it's college time, you should be in the college.
If it's hostel time, you should be in the hostel. Yeah. And if you're on the road, then you should be as a group, not as individuals.
Mm.
Even though this was work related, we had stayed back because we had to cook something and then carry it back. We had that great good fortune. But still, from the look of Bhagwan, we felt that maybe Bhagwan was apparently not very pleased. That's where he drove a very important message. When we went to Mandir, Bhagwan went for a round and came back. He came to the upper veranda. Upper veranda is where when Bhagwan comes out from the interview room, if he walks straight, that we generally call it as upper veranda. So when he came up there, I was sitting in the lower veranda in one corner. That's where Bhagwan made a very emphatic statement, which still rings in me. He says, you get detached from everything, from your place. Why should you get attached to things here?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where maybe I felt that because even though this was an opportunity which we had of getting food for Bhagwan, but I missed a lot of those darshans because when we were taking time to cook, that was the darshan time. That's why for Bhagwan, he sent a message indirectly saying that our focus in life should always be Bhagwan, more than the work which we do. The work which we do will go to him, no doubt about it, but not at the cost of being focused on him. That's where when he says, when you get detached, why get attached to something else?
The whole purpose is to get attached to him. Not get attached to anything else.
Anything else.
Not get attached to even his work.
Right.
That's a very powerful message.
That's a very powerful message which Bhagwan gave on that day.
I think many times it happens that, you know, we think I'm doing God's work and I get so attached to that work that I don't want to leave that work. I don't want anyone else to do that work. I get paranoid about that work.
Correct.
And we forget why I started doing that work.
Yes. And that's where at times maybe we feel threatened. If you get too attached
to that work. Yes.
That's where, I think that's a message which Bhagwan says. You have been given a role.
Yes.
Do it to the hilt.
Today you are a district president of a Satya Sai, whatever Sai organization. And tomorrow you are completely crestfallen if that role is not there.
That's what Bhagwan meant. He said, don't get attached. So, that's our focus. If it is Bhagwan, we can be an ordinary Sevadal member, but we can still be happy.
Right. If your focus is only on him, so it doesn't matter what you're doing.
So that is a very strong, significant message
which
Bhagwan conveyed on that particular day. That keeps ringing.
I think many times in the guise of doing God's work, we let many things pass.
Yes.
We hide many of our frailties behind that so-called virtue, which we make a virtue out of it.
Right.
And hide many of our shortcomings under that. And here Bhagwan is so clear. He's saying that all you have to do is just get attached to him. And I think that is
nothing,
the goal of life.
Nothing else.
And I think the message also was that, you know, as students, you have come here, leaving your parents and everything else, choosing to stay here. Because you sort of detach yourself from everything else.
Right. And don't get distracted.
Don't get distracted.
Be focused.
Wow.
That's where...
Amazing. I think when you reflect on it, there is so much. And I think, as we were just saying, you know, this one statement of Bhagwan is enough for us to live our life on.
Really, really. Because it's so profound. At the same time, it doesn't say that you don't discharge your duty.
Yes.
But Bhagwan also gives an example of a handkerchief.
Mm.
He says, you have a handkerchief. Which is more difficult? Dropping the handkerchief or holding the handkerchief? That is attachment. Holding the handkerchief is attachment. And Bhagwan says dropping the handkerchief is detachment.
So easy actually.
So easy. You don't need effort. That is what Bhagwan says. That can happen only when we have him as a focus.
Yes.
We are not looking for anything else.
Hmm.
And we continue work with keeping him as our focus.
And taking his word as our mantra.
Taking his word as our mantra.
Amazing. And that absolute obedience is what he expects. And I think if you see, that is what we saw in Arjuna too. When Arjuna finally said, Karishe Vachanam Tava, you know, surrender it, I will just follow you and nothing else, Lord. You know, he became empty. Just did whatever Krishna, became sort of like a flute, empty and hollow. Only then Krishna sang through him the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, because when God wills something for us, I think He always wills the best.
Yes.
If we think in terms of what we do to others, we always will think the best for the person.
Correct.
So when it comes from Bhagwan saying that this is what would be better for you, I think we should never question that.
Are there any instances in your life when you had any such dilemmas? You know, did you ever think about what should I do at this moment? And did Bhagwan guide you? Were there any dilemmas, or you always are very clear? Whatever he said, you just...
No, I think I was very clear. If Bhagwan said do this, I was ready for that. He said do that, I was ready for that. In fact, when I was about to complete my second PG, Bhagwan said, what do you want to do? I said, whatever Bhagwan says. According to me, it is better that you go and do your CA.
Bhagwan said.
So I said, whatever you say, Bhagwan, if you say that I should do my CA, I will do my CA. So I did not ask for anything. Immediately, a few of my brothers came up to me and said, I think it is better you ask Bhagwan, saying that, no, Bhagwan, I would like to be around. And
Yeah, because everyone would say, Swami, I want to be here, I don't want to...
Yeah, because it's a great opportunity. The amount of love you experience from him, nobody would like to leave and go.
Correct.
So, but when Bhagwan says something, I think
But you didn't have any issue. Like Bhagwan said, go out and say, you didn't say, Swami, no, I want to be here.
No, I didn't. I didn't dare saying that to Bhagwan.
You're so clear.
I was quite clear.
If he wants you to go out, he'll go out.
Yes. So, it so happened. I said, fine, and Bhagwan left to Vrindavan. So I went back home with my parents, and because Bhagwan had told it very clearly, we went and because we had to do articleship and all for CA. So we went, father spoke to a chartered accountant and fixed up everything. Then I said, I'll go get Bhagwan's blessings, and after that only I'll join. So I went back to Vrindavan. Bhagwan was in Vrindavan. So I wrote out a letter. It was a Trayi session which was going on. So I sat down there. And Bhagwan came by. He saw me. He saw the letter. Didn't say anything. Normally you would have picked it up. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say anything. He said, okay, fine. I'll wait whatever Bhagwan says. It so happened that Bhagwan said he's sending us to Parthi. So we came down to Puttaparthi. And after a few days, Bhagwan came down to Puttaparthi. So the auditor had given me a list of books which I should pick up from Bangalore when I come back. So I had kept it because that's what Bhagwan had hinted. It so happened a few of my classmates were also sitting there. Bhagwan came out after the interviews. He came up to the upper veranda. And then he picked up one by one a few of my classmates. I was sitting there. Bhagwan saw me and he didn't say anything. These people went into the interview room. Then after that he told a couple of them, I was looking for him but I could not find him. They all knew that if Bhagwan wanted, he could have called. And in fact, he told one of our elders who was also sitting there, morning I was looking for him, I didn't find him. Because I was thinking that he can also do research.
Swami said.
Swami mentioned that. So others, I've already picked them up for research. I wanted him also to do research. So I was looking for him, I didn't find him. This is when I heard this, I said, fine. So I went back. We were staying in the old hostel just opposite Mandir. After bhajans, I went back. While going into bhajan hall also, Bhagwan saw me. While coming out, going back into the interview
room. No way he's not seeing me.
Before closing, this is where that leela of Bhagwan is. He will close it and leave a small gap. And yes, from the gap he will watch. Then again slightly open at times, then close it. So all this happened. I came back to the room. The first thing which I did was I took out that sheet of paper which had books which I had to pick up when we were going back to Bangalore.
To start your CA.
To start my CA. So I picked it up, tore it up, threw it up.
Tore the letter?
I tore the letter.
Because Swami asked...
Because Swami mentioned that he would like me to do research. So I tore it up. And evening we went and sat down. Then Bhagwan called those people. Then he called me also. And he asked, where were you in the morning? I didn't see you. So I said, fine, Bhagwan, you wanted to teach me a lesson and find out whether I'll still stick to that or do what you want me to do right now. Mm. So that's Bhagwan. Wow.
You never even had the thought that, I mean, earlier he told me CA, what is it now he's telling me research, you know, and it's really amazing that, you know, you didn't want to tell Swami, yesterday only you told me that you do CA, today you're telling research, what is this? You didn't have any such thoughts.
Because Bhagwan is love, and when love says something, I don't think we always will trust what he says, because he always thinks for our good.
Amazing. I think that's really phenomenal, because I think Swami, perhaps, we don't know what he was doing. We can't say he was testing or anything. We don't know what he was doing. But it's really amazing that, you know, whatever came from him, just like a flute, you accepted.
Yes.
If he wanted you to go out, you were okay with it. If he wanted you to stay, you were okay
because
with it.
When Bhagwan says, can we say no?
Yes.
And it has been that whenever Bhagwan says something, it is better we follow that rather than question it.
And that absolute obedience is what will always take us close. And I think once you follow what he says, then after that he takes care, isn't it?
Yeah, it is not actually obedience. It is the love.
Love.
It is love. Because obedience, with that comes rules, regulations and things. Here, the atmosphere which Bhagwan creates is that of love.
Yes.
So you will never feel like saying, no, this is my view. Can I go ahead with my view?
I mean, you have someone who cannot be anything but the greatest well-wisher for you.
Yes.
So whatever he says
will always be for our good.
Be for our good. And I think this is such a fantastic lesson, actually, for all of us. Many times, I think you have in these days youngsters, you know, so often getting into depression. Perhaps it doesn't happen so much in our university, but generally, you hear a lot of such episodes, you know, youngsters taking to wrong ways or, you know, doing something which is permanently damaging their lives because of depression.
Yes, that comes in, Bhagwan says, because of comparing. One of the major reasons why people get into this mode is because they compare with someone, with something, what someone has, and that's where they feel bad about it. So that's why Bhagwan always says,
yes,
never compare.
No competition.
No competition.
Cooperation.
No cooperation. And don't compare.
Don't compare.
Your life is your life.
Correct.
You don't know what the other person is going through.
Absolutely.
So that's why
we take only one thing of our life and compare it to the other person.
We don't know what he's actually going through.
I think that is so important. And I remember this letter that Bhagwan wrote in 1947 to his brother. In that, very clearly Swami is telling, I have my definition of a devotee.
Yes.
And I have my definition of devotion. And Swami says that only that person who is equal-minded, whether it is pain or pleasure, loss or gain, tragedy or triumph, only that person is my devotee.
We need a lot of His grace to reach that state.
Yes.
It is not possible otherwise.
Yeah, not possible. But perhaps one way to go there is to always think that whatever happens is for my good.
Yes. That's what Bhagwan says. He says that believe in that, trust in that. Not in words, but in action.
Wow. Amazing, sir. So if you can, go on this line and share how we have experienced this love of Bhagwan, you know, this amazing love of Bhagwan, where you just listened to what he said, you followed what he asked you to do. There were times when, you know, you're clueless and you can go only to him, and there you see his grace.
I'll narrate an instance here, which is a little personal. That was an instance wherein suddenly I got a call from my mother saying my elder sister's husband is not doing very well. He had multiple aneurysms and he was sinking. And I could, my parents, my sister, all of them were saying that please reach out to Bhagwan and get a word from him. And Bhagwan had retired for the morning, so very difficult to get access. And I was not knowing how do I contact and get to Bhagwan. So my prayers were on. Evening I took some courage, went down to Bhagwan. I was at that point of time staying in Purnachandra Auditorium. So I sent a letter in saying that this is what is the condition. So I seek Bhagwan's blessing and grace. Bhagwan very lovingly, and that was a time when you could not have accessed Bhagwan. Mm-hmm. And that was in the month of November.
Oh, busy month.
Busy month, a lot of activities going on. Getting Bhagwan's attention was more difficult. So, but prayers were on. I went and mentioned that Bhagwan very lovingly sent 3 packets of vibhuti.
Mm-hmm.
And doctors had given up hope. At times they said it is very critical. We don't know what can happen. Only God can intervene. That was the statement which was made. Bhagwan gave these 3 packets of vibhuti and told, you ask them to take vibhuti from that. You may not believe that packet is full of vibhuti even now.
Even now?
Even now.
10 years later?
Yes.
And every day he takes?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So that's Bhagwan's love.
And he's fine?
He's fine. By Bhagwan's grace.
Wow. Amazing.
So this is where I think...
No clue of...
Bhagwan shows his power. When it is for someone else's benefit. In fact...
Just that expression of his love, that's all. Yes. That power is expression of his love.
That's what Bhagwan says. And Bhagwan at one other occasion when we were sitting in the interview room, Bhagwan's eye was slightly red.
Mm-hmm.
We all prayed to Bhagwan saying that, Bhagwan, you have all the powers. You can just wish the eye turns normal.
Mm.
It'll be okay. Bhagwan said, I do not use my powers for myself.
Mm.
If you want me to use it, then you should pray to me saying that this is your body and I should heal it.
Wow.
So this is where small statements which Bhagwan makes have great amount of impact.
I mean, I remember in my student days also, so many times Bhagwan would say, I am top to toe, I am selfless.
Selfless.
And that is what he always
exhibited he lived that.
Lived that. And that is something which we saw in Bhagwan, isn't it?
Yes.
Even I remember he coming to the management classes, and what he taught us also was, this is how you should be a leader.
Right. He was a perfect leader. He was a leader who got involved with every activity. And it was not that he wanted to come in there and say, no, this is not right or that is not right. He used to observe and then say, this can be done this way. What do you feel? See, that is how a manager is. He used to walk around. He used to manage by walking around.
Yes.
And he used to have that connect which was there. In fact, one of the discourses when Bhagwan came to the audiovisual room, as it was called in those days, and he used to conduct classes for the MBA students, we were fortunate to be as a part of that group. Bhagwan said, I have the power to create, to change earth into sky and sky into earth.
Hmm.
This is what Bhagwan said. In fact, he also went on to say, I can turn a boy into a girl and a girl into a boy.
Oh my God.
So, as a small token of what he mentioned, Bhagwan created a medallion.
Mm-hmm.
He created a medallion and said, all of you will have a look at it. He passed it on, and then those days we had those green chairs which were there in the audiovisual room. We were all sitting, and the students were sitting down there. And it went round the whole hall and it came back to Bhagwan. Bhagwan asked, have all of you all seen it? Everyone said, yes Bhagwan, we have all seen it. Then Bhagwan said, shall I change it? No, you can't say Bhagwan change it. Then Bhagwan put it up in front of him, blew thrice to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now see, Bhagwan said. And he again sent it round. This is where the medallion had changed totally.
just
by blowing. That is the power of the Lord.
Mm.
He can change anything at any point of time. But he always believes in ensuring that we do not get into that sort of difference or gap which we come by, that you're God, I'm a human being. He'll show that, but within a fraction of a second, he will make as if, no, you are a part of me.
Hmm. But only to drive home a lesson. Only so that perhaps these glimpses are what alerts us.
Yeah. Don't take things
for granted.
Yes.
Know who is there in front of you. Make best use of the opportunity.
Because that's where, that's what Bhagwan says. This is where you have to go. This is what you'll have to do. That's a direction which he now and then, yes, with the blinker which comes in, draws our attention and says, come on.
Amazing. In fact, I was listening to Professor Kumar Bhaskar, who was also mentioning once in this management class how Bhagwan created a particular object. I don't know if it was a pen or something, while talking to the students, and then Swami looked at the faculty and the students and said, see, this other teachers, they can only talk, but I can actually show you.
Right.
Well, I think it was those moments, you know, when you really connected with the students, and that is how I think you have all the management students of our university so different.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Because Bhagwan always focused on what is called as man management.
Yes.
And he said, you focus on that, everything else will fall in place. Bhagwan gives the example of a map and a face of a man.
Yes.
You focus on the man, map will be in place.
Yes. Amazing. And I think that is what Lord Krishna was. Amazing man manager. With just 5 Pandavas, without even holding a weapon. The war was won. And that is how we see.
That's the power of divine power of love.
Divine power of love, absolutely. And I think we see that happen all the time. Even now, even though the physical form is quote unquote not there, because I have interacted with devotees who would say, who says their physical form is not there? He's there.
Yes.
If you want him, he's there. I mean, that is our conviction.
That's our connect. If suppose we are able to connect, he can be there physically.
He can be there physically for us.
But otherwise, he is like he was. He's always guiding us. Always guiding us.
Do you ever feel that, you know, all these years I was with Bhagwan, I took instructions from him, and you know, as a teacher, we've lived with Bhagwan, and now you are actually in a position of responsibility. You are in the head of the department. And this is the time perhaps you would have had more chance of interaction with Bhagwan, guidance from Bhagwan. And actually, when you have sort of got this opportunity now, the physical form is not there. Do you any time feel that, you know, there's something missing, or do you feel that, oh, I wish she was there?
No, I think Bhagwan prepares us for all such things. So that's where I know physical form is something which is very charming. We all miss seeing that. That's a different thing altogether. But his hand is visible, is felt all through, even now.
Amazing. And that happens on a daily basis.
On a daily basis. No exception. And that's why you find there are people, students who have come and joined now who have not seen Bhagwan. But the level of enthusiasm, the drive which they have got, well, whether it is sports meet or any other function which we prepare for, that's only because of his grace.
The same level of
enthusiasm and commitment which you come. Yes. That's because of Bhagwan.
Even though like 4-5 years have passed by, so actually in a few years there will be students who have just joined and not even seen Bhagwan.
No, right now we have students who have joined,
and they pass out of the institute.
Yes,
also.
Yes.
But you don't find any difference in their level of...
They experience Bhagwan.
Amazing.
They experience his love. And that's where there's a lot of responsibility on all of us. who have had the good fortune of experiencing the love when we could physically see Bhagwan.
Yes.
That's where we need to pass on that.
Yes.
Not that Bhagwan needs us to do that.
Yes.
But if we can, like the squirrels said, let me carry a few grains of sand and put it on that bridge. Mm. It is that.
No, just that opportunity. Do. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says that, you know, those men who are passionate about spreading my message, are passionate about spreading the good news of the message of the Lord, they are always dear to me.
Yes.
I feel that is one act that we can do just to be dear to the Lord.
Yes. And Bhagwan always spoke more of dearness to him rather than nearness to him.
And we can always be dear to him.
Yes. We can always be dear to him.
By living his message and by sharing his message and ensuring that more and more people are under his umbrella and are experiencing the joy of his message.
Yes.
Wonderful. In fact, as Professor Venkatraman always says, you had Lord Krishna who gave the Bhagavad Gita in some 700 shlokas, but what Bhagwan has done is he has only expanded that Bhagavad Gita over, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 discourses and so many showers, so much showers.
Yes.
He just expanded it and, you know, made it relevant for us and with so many beautiful lucid examples. So all we have to do is take this song of the Lord into our heart and sing it so that more people can hear it and we feel the joy of that ourselves and fill us and make our lives a song of the Lord. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank
I know
you.
We can go on. There is so much more that you can share and I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that you could take time out to be with us in the studios and I hope that we will have more opportunities so that we can go on sharing much of the moments that you have experienced which we could not cover today. And I know there is so much. It's a long association with Bhagwan. As you go, you things will keep surfacing in your mind. Thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So dear listeners, that was Dr. B. Sai Giridhar, the head of the Department of Commerce and Management, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And as you heard him, you would have got glimpses of how the Lord draws you, how the Lord molds you, and how the Lord prepares you so that you too become like the flute, so that you too become an instrument. Bhagwan very clearly says that if you want to become my instrument, you have to become a flute, you have to become hollow, you have to become straight, and he will help us in this process. If Radha was dear to the Lord, if Meera was dear to the Lord, if Purandradasa was dear to the Lord, and if they became beautiful instruments through whom the Lord sang his love, it was only because they were able to let go of that ego and let God in and take over themselves completely. As we gear up to celebrate Krishna Janmashtami, let us always remember that all we have to do is to become that flute. All we have to do is to just let that ego go. All we have to do is to tell the Lord, let thy will be done. There's nothing like my will. Let his will supersede and overpower every little wish of ours. And let our life then become his melody. So dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us all through the day. We look forward to your feedback and comments and suggestions. listener@radiosai.org. That is where you can write to us. Everything that you write inspires us, fills us with ideas and prepares us to make our offerings better. As we draw the curtains on this day-long Thursday life, I offer once again the salutations of all of us in Radio Sai at the lotus feet of Bhagwan for this beautiful opportunity he has given us to share his love, and thank each one of you too for being with us through this beautiful journey to Sai, with Sai, in Sai. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.